Hello, everybody, and welcome to the June edition of An Audio View. Dr. Peter Beichmann is Professor Emeritus of Electrical Engineering at the University of Colorado. He tells us why he started his newsletter, Access to Energy. He gives us the difference between what the environmental charlatans are saying and what true science is saying about the question, is the environment being destroyed?
Dr. Dixie Ray reports that at a conference of environmental scientists in 1970, a session was devoted to mercury pollution, one of the bygone false alarms. Dr. Ed Goldberg, a marine geochemist from the prestigious Scripps Institute of Oceanography, demonstrated that the amount of the world's mercury mining was comparable to the amount seeping into the oceans by natural erosion, and that the sum of the two was no more than 1/8,000th of the mercury already present in the sea. Conference chairman Professor Carol Wilson of the MIT thanked him for his presentation, but since the conference report was designed to draw the attention of the press to the fictitious mercury poisoning of fish, a proof that human contribution to the mercury content of the sea is negligible, quote, would run the risk of destroying the credibility of our entire report, unquote. He then recommended that Dr. Goldberg's analysis be omitted from the publication. No one objected. What are the reasons for the cowardice and fraudulence of such freaks who call themselves scientists? By now, it is the urge for conformity to political correctness and greed for both publicity and financial support. These days you don't get a grant for showing that the mercury in the sea threatens nobody, and you risk being shunned by a pious faculty as a servant of the corporations. Let me show on the example of myself what was going on and how this newsletter got started. In 1970, I was working on the scattering of waves by randomly rough surfaces, which had no connection with, quote, environmental, unquote, problems. Yet I grew very nervous, for I could see that the, quote, environmentalists, unquote, though not communists themselves, were using communist methods. The use of fake bogies, mercury in one case, imperialist agents in the other, the fight for great causes that have no enemies, clean air in one case, Brotherhood of Nations in the other, the masquerade of a political agenda as science, and the false morality, superiority, and arrogance permeating the believers in a faith deceptively claiming to be a science. Even so, I thought there was a population explosion, as did all my colleagues. I am not a demographer, and accepted conventional wisdom as I do in zoology or chemistry. If my totalitarian training did not prevent me from falling for this fraud, why should my colleagues, who had never known a political agenda masked in science and morality, leave their little playgrounds of specialization to combat it? A booklet by professional demographer George Greer, called The Baby Bust, opened my eyes to the lies of Paul Ehrlich. I started investigating other bogies, such as the phosphate scare, resource depletion, radiation and nuclear power, and found them all either grossly exaggerated or outright fraudulent. I could no longer stand by and wrote a book published in 1973 called Eco-Hysterics and the Technophobes. The book sold out in 6 months, and I considered publishing a second edition when I realized that the bogeys and myths changed too fast, and nothing less than a monthly could keep up. I realized that the central thrust of the deindustrializers would be aimed at the lifeblood of industry, energy. I also knew that energy was plentiful, but that the access to it was blocked by the mythmakers and bureaucrats. 2 months before the 1973 Arab oil embargo, Access to Energy Number 1 rolled off my little press. There were many, many scientists who stood up against the religious fanatics, often bravely risking funds for their labs. Dr. Edward Teller, Dr. Dixie Lee Ray, Professor Bernard Cohen, Tom Jukes, Gordon Edwards, Fred Singer, Julian Simon, and the late John Isaacs were among a large group upholding genuine science. All of them were better than I. They just did not have a press. Alas, we were and still are in a small minority. The bulk of scientists is specialized and uninterested in the outside world. They do what is politically correct, as behooves academics, that is, government employees, and they know where their bread is buttered with funds and publicity. Yet the hottest place in hell is reserved not for charlatans like Paul Lysenko Ehrlich, nor for media monkeys like Stephen Schneider. It is reserved for those who stood by and did nothing. But we have no right to give up. We have no right to squander the heritage of the giants who preceded us.